in the different things when we were worshiping, I felt like God was saying, I'm on the move. I'm on the move, and he wants us to move as well. And it might be because of what I've been meditating on, but then when other people say it as well, I think, yeah, God, this is what you're wanting to do. There's been a few words recently about knowing and following the will of God in our lives. This year, it's come through several times, and I know we're only in April, but it started me thinking about our daily walk. And we know that we have different seasons in life, and in different seasons, we walk different ways. I'm going to do a little bit of an illustration. Take off my shoes. There are times when we're walking with God, we feel like he's holding our hand, and we're just having this lovely stroll. You know, aren't they beautiful when we're feeling like we're walking with the Lord like that? Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. There's times where we're like David and we're marching and we're really purposeful and we're defeating giants and we're doing business with God. We're marching. There's times where we're like David, and I haven't done this for a while, so excuse me if it looks a bit awkward, but we skip. We have times where we're skipping with the Lord and there's such joy in walking with him. And everything we do and everything we put our hand to sings. Everything is easy and there's such delight. But there's also times where we limp a little, where we're not so sure, but like Peter when he denied the Lord, where our faith is still there, but we're not quite sure what that's going to look like, and there's a little bit of hurt and disappointment or injury. And there's times when we're a bit like Job, and we're down on all fours, and we feel like we're dragging ourselves along, and sometimes we're not actually sure if the Lord is actually with us. And if you've been walking with the Lord for a little while, or even if it's been a short time, you can actually think about times in your life where you've had all of those walks. But they all have one thing in common. They are all moving forward. No matter how fast or how slow, or what direction the path takes us in. You know, and God is interested in how we respond to that next step that he puts in front of us. He's not so much interested in perfection, but he's interested in the progress we're making. His mercies are new every morning. No matter what yesterday's walk was like, today is a new day to walk with the Lord. In Psalms and in Proverbs, there's lots of scriptures that convince us that the Lord orders our steps. He knows our days, he knows our path, and he is with us. And what started me along this thought was a story, a picture. That's all right, doesn't matter. That Shane and I have been reading. I keep quoting this and I keep saying Gwen recommended this book to Brenton and Brenton recommended it to us. I highly recommend this book. Okay. Imagine yourself standing on the banks of a wide, fast-flowing river. You must cross, but there is no bridge. Jesus comes carrying a large stone and places it in the river right in front of you. He then invites you to step out onto it. Every day he brings another stone, and then another, and another. You move further out into the water each day. One day, however, you find yourself in the middle of the river with the water rushing all around you, and no new stone appears. Can you pop up that picture please, Daniel. This is what they created for me. Isn't it beautiful? No stone to step onto. When you cannot move forward, you feel a wave of panic. You look backward to the shore, and only then do you realize where the stones are coming from. Jesus has been systematically dismantling the cottage on the shore behind you. That place in the past where you have lived your entire life, and is turning it, one stone at a time, into stepping stones for your future. And Julie shared my verse, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. You take a deep breath and wait for God. When your heart is still, he quietly places the next stone in front of you, and he invites you. Notice he invites, he doesn't insist. He invites you to take yet another step across the fast-moving river. You realize now he will always bring one more stone, just one at a time, and then gently nudge you forward. You realize you can trust him as he continues to take the stones from your past and uses them to lead you into a good future. There's so much in there. So much. And I didn't title this word next steps, plural. I titled it the next step. And I was looking, I've been reading, you know, I read through my Bible, and I was up to Judges while I was thinking these things, and I came across Gideon. And I thought about the steps that Gideon took to get him to the place where he saw this great victory. He lived at a time when the Israelites were drifting, a bit like our community. God would raise up a leader, and people would turn back to him. There would be peace in the land, but then they would drift away again, turn to other gods, come under the rule of foreign nations and serve other gods. But God, in his faithfulness, would raise up yet another leader, often using people like Gideon who didn't fit the traditional mold of a leader. In the time of Gideon, the Midianites were attacking the people. They were destroying their crops and stealing their animals, and they left the Israelites starving. It was only as they were starving that they cried out to the Lord. And an angel appeared to Gideon. He was hiding. He was threshing wheat, hiding so that his food wouldn't be taken. And the angel called Gideon a mighty hero, a mighty warrior, hiding, afraid, you mighty warrior. And he declared that the Lord was with him. Well, I think if an angel appeared to me, I would hope if an angel appeared to me and said, I'm with you, you're a mighty warrior, I'd go, yes, what do you want me to do? But Gideon's response was, well, if God is with us, why is all of this happening? Where are the miracles? God has abandoned us. The dialogue continued between the angel and Gideon, and it went on, it says it was God. Gideon goes, my clan is the least, and I am the least in my family. God replied, I am with you, and will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon's response, show me a sign, Lord. Well, it continued, and Gideon offered a sacrifice. In spite of his questions and doubt, there was no denying that God was calling him to stand against the culture of the day. In verse 22, when he actually realized the person he was talking to was an angel, he said, oh, no, I'm done. I've seen the face of God and I'm going to die. Even though God had said, I'm with you, I've got a plan for you, you're going to see the army defeated. In his own understanding and in his own mind, he thought, I'm done. But instead of that, God revealed more of his character. And this is the first place in Scripture where we hear about God being Jehovah Shalom. God revealed himself as peace to Gideon. Now, God so often comes in ways we don't expect. I love, Julie, that you talked about you were surprised by the way that grace showed up. He uses circumstances. He tosses our religious ideas of what God is like out the window. And he shows us grace and gives us peace, just as he did for Gideon. You know, God's not intimidated by our doubts or our questions if we are honest with him. He doesn't want us to hide. He wants us to be open. There have been many times that I have cried out in my life, Lord, I don't understand what's happening here, but I choose to trust you. I choose to keep going. It was a time, I'm sure everyone saw my notes, when Shane has a few health conditions. We don't often talk about his epilepsy, but he has had in his past some grand mal seizures, and he sees a neurologist once a year, and he had 2 seasons of 6 months where he wasn't able to work. And so at the end of one of those 6 months, we went to the neurologist, and the doctor gave his report. And as we walked out of the office, I can't say I was feeling super spiritual, but I felt the Lord speak to me. And I felt like he drew a line in the sand. Hayden, that line in the sand for people. You were praying earlier. And I stepped over it. And I stomped my foot. And that was a moment in time where God's peace came into my heart about all that was happening with Shane's health. And there have been a couple of times where he's knocked his head or he's got a bit garbled or, you know, I'm not sure if that's a, but anyway, I've actually gone back to that line and said, but God, there was this moment in time and the peace has remained because his peace doesn't leave us. Even though Gideon was scared, he did what the Lord asked him to. He chopped down the altar to Baal and erected an altar to the Lord. But it wasn't until the morning that the real battle began. When the man of the town came and said, who did this? Who did this? Who would dare do this and take our altar down? Bring him out so we can kill him. Gideon had reason to be scared. However, his father stood up and challenged them and basically said, why are you standing up for a false god? God did something amazing. Shortly after this, 2 armies allied to come against Israel. The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He blew a ram's horn and he called the Israelites to arm. Yet still, he asked for a sign to know that God was with him. He put out a fleece 2 nights in a row, and God was gracious and confirmed the next step for Gideon. This is often referred to as a lack of faith on Gideon's part. I actually got a little bit of a different view on it this time. I felt like for Gideon it was a confirmation that God was with him. It was a confirmation that gave him confidence in stepping forward. And without these signs, I'm not sure that Gideon would have had confidence for the next step. Colossians 3:14 to 15 in the Amplified Version encourages us to let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. Gideon had the peace of God because God had showed himself to be with him. A number of years ago, most of the families in our church for a time sent our children to Mueller College, and we were amongst those. And things changed financially, and I think interest rates shot up and there were a whole lot of things going on. And a number of families that we did life with actually took their children out of Mueller. And it really unsettled us. And I went to someone and said, what should we do? Because it made sense in the natural. We didn't have enough money to send our children to Mueller. We were on one income and things were really tight. And we didn't have the money. But someone said to me, what's God saying to you? Not what's God saying to everyone else. What is God saying to you? And we actually went to prayer about it, and the only peace we got was to keep our kids at Mueller. We saw God's provision in so many creative ways that it still blows our minds because it never worked on paper, never. Yet God met us, not just met us, but gave us peace about our decision. You know, his peace should be the thing that's ruling our decisions. While the army was gathered, Gideon, initially, there were 32,000 Israelites that came together. And through different steps, one at a time, God got Gideon to dwindle that army down to 300 men. They were facing an army of 135,000. The ratio is one Israelite to 450 enemies. So each person had to take care of 450 enemy combatants. But this is what happened. And if you'd like to read with me, I'm reading from Judges 7, verse 12. I've got too many bits of paper today. Oh, no, verse 16, sorry. He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clarjay with a torch in it. Then he said to them, keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly, they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and horns in their right hands. And they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. And the Israelites saw a mighty victory. Jar, horn, no sword. And they stood. They didn't actually go into battle. There was later where they went and chased those that had got away, but they stood with a light and with a horn and declared the promises of God and saw God perform a mighty miracle. Imagine if God had shown Gideon, when he was in the threshing floor, threshing his wheat, the army of 135,000. God doesn't do that. One step at a time. God didn't ask Gideon to jump in the deep end. He led him step by step and instructed him every step along the way. Gideon saw victory because he obeyed. And there's a lesson here for us about learning to hear from God, letting his peace guide us, starting with the little things. Today, when we were praying for our community, was anything stirred in your heart? Did a neighbour come to mind? Did someone at your workplace come to mind? Did about praying about a specific thing? Did the outreach team come to mind? You know, that could be God saying, this is a new step. He's putting something on your heart. God's call in chapter 6, verse 14 to Gideon was, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And that promise is the same for us. Go with the strength he has given us because he is sending us. God is always ready to make us what we ought to be if we're willing to submit to his will. We're singing a song at school at the moment in preparation for our classes, School Sunday. It's a fun song. It's about the heroes of the Bible. And the verse says, I should get Harry up here to come and sing it with me. He's going, no. From these ordinary people came extraordinary things, everyday people like me. And if God don't have no favourites, then you have to agree, there is an unlikely hero in me. From these ordinary people, come extraordinary things. Because God doesn't have favourites, and he's calling each of us to walk his walk. But in this picture, you know, we love to focus on the middle, but there's a couple of things happening on the side of this river. There's the steps up this side. That looks like a hard path. I don't think I could do that. I'd struggle getting up there. I thought that's like the people that said to Gideon, who did this? Who do you think you are? It's where we come under legality, rules and traditions of the past. Can be seen as other people's expectations. Fear of man. Oh, what will they think if I step out in this area? It's relying on past experiences of how God has already worked and who he has used. Oh, God would never use me. God could never do that with me because of what I've done in my past. Past hurts and past disappointments. All those things that try to grab our attention, distract us, and have the potential to take us off God's path and lose sight of God's next step. But on this side, on that beautiful, calm shore, that beach, Shane and I have just had a holiday. We didn't go to the beach, but holidays are wonderful. They are precious. This is where we're getting comfortable. Quite happy with where I am, thank you. I don't feel like I need any more challenge in my life. I'm quite happy. Resting in what we already know. Not seeking God for a next step. Avoiding risks. Staying safe. And relying on past testimony. But God hasn't got us up the sides. He's got us walking smack bang down the middle. And it's the safest place we can be. You know, and that path looks different for every person. But there are things that we all have in common. And just like Gideon, we can be confident that God is leading us to the next step. You know, we don't have to worry about the stone that's 3 or 4 steps away. If we're faithful with the step in front of us, we'll be ready for the ones that are yet to come. Because Jesus is an anchor for our soul. And he promises to bring us into a large place, even if at times it feels a bit constricting or small. He is the rock of our salvation, and in him we won't be moved. But I've just got a few warnings. Who here has ever, you know, gone across a creek or a river using stepping stones? Or climbed over the rocks up at Caloundra on the beach and you're looking for the next safe place to put your foot. Most of us have done that at some stage in our life. I want you to think about that. I want to think about doing that. What happens when you look backwards? What happens when you look at the path the person next to you is taking and you try and hop over to what they thought was safe? What happens if you look up and think, oh, it's getting windy, oh, it's going to rain, oh, it's... And we think of all the things that could go wrong. Oh, that wave's coming, it's going to knock me off my stone. That's when the stones become slippery. That's when we lose our balance. God's next step for you is perfect, but it is your step and it is in him that you find it. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us and encourages us that we are God's masterpiece, his workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If we want to be sure-footed, if we want to be following the steps that Jesus has for us, we need to be looking to him and asking him. You know, Gideon's life didn't end so well. He did great things for God. And the Israelites wanted to make him king, and he declined that. But he did end up being deceived by things and by money. And he made a false idol that the Israelites ended up worshipping. And it was in the time of peace that that happened. You know, those times of strolling and skipping with the Lord are wonderful. But they can actually be the most dangerous because we get a little bit slack. We're not needing God as much. And we tend to let some of the things that we do slip. But those ones where we're limping a little, those ones where we're marching, even those ones where we feel we're on our hands and our knees, they are the times where God grows us. They are the times where our confidence comes from. They are the times that we really seek God's peace and his direction. That's where he works his character into us. You know, sometimes it feels more like a leap than a step. Sometimes it feels, if we look around, that our step is really high and it's a cliff drop off the edge. You know, where you're feeling a bit precarious. But the safest place is on that rock with the Lord. You know, one of the other times it can be really difficult is when we're standing and we feel like we've got our foot ready and we're wanting to go like this and God's saying, just wait. It's a good test for my balance, isn't it? Just wait. And to be confident that he is still with us. You know, that's really hard when life's not comfortable. When you're in a health crisis, when you're in a financial or a relationship that's difficult, and God says, wait. And there's not this instant release. That's really hard to wait. But they're the areas that our greatest testimony come from, and when we see his power at work in us. You know, we need to take care to not be looking so far ahead. You know, in that picture, you actually can't see what the destination looks like. And God never intended us to see 5 years down the track. If we're so busy looking at the end of the track, we can miss the next step. And believe it or not, even if that next step seems a little insignificant, if that next step is God saying, get up half an hour earlier and read your Bible, if that next step is saying, I want you to pray every day for your neighbour, if that next step is saying, I want you to join a small group, if that next step is saying, I want you to, and it seems small and insignificant to you, don't dismiss it. Because that step, no matter how seemingly small to you, is imperative in helping you get to the step down the road. Every step in the Lord is important, but we can only do it one step at a time. God is always ready to make us what we ought to be if we are willing to submit to Him. So this morning, what's your next step? We're all on a journey. What's your next step? Is God saying, wait? Or is God challenging you to something new? God wants us to be moving forward, no matter our age, no matter our season, no matter what's happened in our past. God says today is a day of moving forward. Do you know, if God thought it was important to include the struggles of the heroes of faith that we so look up to in the Word, we can be confident that it's okay for us to have struggles and for us to find it difficult. Can I say this morning, if you don't know what your next step is, ask Him. Ask Him. And He will show you. And if you're thinking here tonight, well, I've really got off track and I'm halfway up that staircase, how do I get back? Just tell Him. Most things with God are about being honest and open and vulnerable and giving over. They're pretty big things. But but it's not a 10-step plan. You know, there have been many times in my life where I have sat down in my chair at home to have a worship and I've actually gone, God, it's been a while. I'm sorry, but here I am. And that's all it takes. God, I'm sorry, here I am. I've named it for what it is. Sorry for being distracted. Sorry for letting what other people think of me take me off course. Sorry for letting the busyness of work take your place. I've named it and I've gone, here I am, God. And a fresh start, His peace comes. I've got this little note on my side that I just jotted down this morning. We're not here to simply enjoy the view. God has a plan for each one of us. We're not here to simply enjoy the view, walking with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You that You know each of us by name. And it's not by chance that You have us here this morning. And it's not by chance the things that have happened in our past. So Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness. And we thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for Your peace. And we just lift our hearts before You in an act of surrender this morning and say, we are Yours. And we ask You to move in us and move through us and to show us the next step that You would have us take. Thank You for speaking to us, Lord. Thank You for opening our eyes.